Welcome to the Creatives on the Rise podcast, where we take you deep inside the minds of creative entrepreneurs who made the jump from side hustlers to full throttle careers on their own terms. I'm your host, Leticia Johnson, and I'll be your guide through this journey. I have the pleasure of interviewing creators who are providing strategies, anecdotes, and practical lessons on how entrepreneurs just like you have pushed past fears, overcome insecurities, and navigated overwhelming obstacles to achieve the highest levels of success.
Hey, it's Leticia. Welcome back to Creatives on the Rise. If you've been following the podcast for a while, thank you. And you know that it's all about creators, creative inspiration, their journeys, our journeys as creators. And if you're new, welcome as well. I'm excited to have you here. This is going to be a solo episode. It's been a while since I've done a solo episode, for many reasons, but I'm really excited to be doing one today. And one of the things that I've been, I think, the most excited about throughout the last few years is the creator economy. It's something that I've been speaking about for a while. It's something that everyone in my space, in my sphere, has been speaking about. But I think the last couple of years, this emergence of creators as primary sources of commerce has really, really kind of transitioned and turned the wheel on what is acceptable and what you can do as a creator. And so I think that's really, really cool and really great. Because as a creator, it gives you the opportunity to really take control of your destiny and of your future. And on the last episode, I spoke a lot about the importance of understanding that shift and understanding that because we are creators, the power that we have in being able to create the future that we want to see. And so I've been really, really encouraged myself personally lately about the ideas that are emerging and that are expanding inside people's understanding of what it means to be a creator. I shared recently that I would be divesting from management, music management, over the next few months in order to kind of accept new opportunities. And the realization of every single time that you say yes to something, you have to say no to something else. And so through the realization of wanting to explore these additional opportunities, it became really, really clear to me that I couldn't continue music management for a number of reasons. One, I'd really kind of outgrown it. And when I started managing artists 10 years ago, at 25, I was really wanting to be someone who took control of music and wanted to give back to the music economy and creator ecosystem. And over the last 10 years, that process has really drawn me and shaped me. Being an artist manager definitely played into my decision to launch the agency because it was through music management that I saw an opportunity that wasn't being served. And I wanted to be able to meet that need and have been able to meet that need. However, you know, one of the things that I will say, and I've always said about music management, is that it's one of the most fulfilling things that you'll ever do. It's also one of the most taxing things that you'll ever do, especially if you are a day-to-day artist manager. And the reason that I say that is because it takes its toll emotionally, mentally, physically, financially. You're investing so much of your time, your energy, and your effort into helping someone else manifest their vision and put them in positions to maximize their potential. And being a music manager, that means that when things are going well, the recognition goes to the artist. When things are going bad, the ire comes to the manager. And so understanding that, for the last couple of years, I've really, really struggled with moments of just not really wanting to do it anymore. I think that to be a music manager, to be an artist manager, you have to love it. You have to love it with your entire soul and your entire being. And you have to want to wake up every day and take the shit. And take the shit until you can get through to the other side, and not be taking the shit anymore. And so something more so recently happened over the last year where I realized that I just was unwilling to take the shit anymore. I wanted to step fully into my power and own the peace and own peace. step into my power and own peace. And so it was kind of really through the recognition of that corner piece that I started to realize, like, hey, I don't think that my heart is in this anymore. And because my heart isn't in it anymore, I can't give it my all. I can't give it 100%. And there were a number of reasons why my heart just wasn't in it anymore. I think that, you know, you can acknowledge that your heart wasn't in it. There could be things that have occurred to get you to that space. And in my case, there has been, you know, numerous things that I could kind of look back and see when the love for it started to erode. And as a creator, you hope that the thing that you're creating and the thing that you love, it will eventually kind of circle back and you'll be able to share in the love of that thing in a way that you had in the beginning. And I waited. I hoped that that love and that passion would come back, and it just didn't. And because it didn't, I made the ultimate decision to walk away from it because I'd outgrown it, right? And so walking away from something that you've outgrown, it doesn't mean that you don't love it. It doesn't mean that you don't appreciate what it gave you. It just means that that season of your life has ended. And it's important as creators, as founders, as entrepreneurs, to be able to recognize when seasons in your life have ended, and then being able to make that shift as a creator, to be fully in alignment with yourself, your spirit, your vision, enables you to step fully into whatever that next phase is. And whatever that looks like, and, you know, whatever that new opportunity is. And so for me, it's really, really been a practice in release. It's been a practice in expansion, and it's been a practice in grace. Because I knew in making the decision, and I have a large roster of artists. I have a lot of artists who depend on me for their livelihood and for their best next step. I also have a team, you know, who are depending on me to kind of continue to push forward. And what I've had to navigate over the last few months is knowing that I'd reached a place in my journey where the road that I've been going down was not a road that I wanted to continue to pursue. And in the recognition of that, how do you navigate and express to others who've kind of poured into this vision with their sweat, their tears, their, you know, fullness, that it's not something that you want anymore? And the lessons that I've learned throughout this process is to honor the space that you're in, and whatever that looks like. And for me, the honoring came from a place and a space of wanting to show up every day as my best self, wanting to honor the space that I was in, give myself that time and that space to figure out what I wanted to do next, and to figure out a way to articulate the transition in a way that wasn't malicious. It wasn't, you know, secondary or not considerate of the implications of the transition. And really wanting to get to a space where I was making the decision from a space of peace and blessings and a place of wanting to fully embrace where the road has been taking me this entire time. And if I'm going to be completely honest, I really feel like I probably should have transitioned from music management a couple years ago, at least in the piece in the space that I was working in. And I had an opportunity 5 years ago when I moved to Austin, and kind of immediately after I moved, there was an artist, a band that I was working with, and they ended up, you know, leaving unexpectedly. And so, and that was a time and that was a moment where, you know what, I could have said, hey, I'm good. I have my career. I have my music. I have my career, my artistry, my creativity, and my company that I'm trying to build. But because so many people were depending on me, I didn't. I didn't stop. I kept managing. I grew the artist. I grew the agency. I worked a lot of artists through. I've put a lot of artists in great positions, in their teams in great positions because of the position that I was in. And one of the things that I started to notice, especially over the last couple of years of being a woman in the music industry, is that men especially like to downplay your involvement. And what I was experiencing and what I have been experiencing is a downplay of my involvement in the process. Now, as a manager, you know, you hear every song, you approve every photo, you validate every idea. That's a part of it, right? And also being an agency owner, right, I get access to content creators, I get access to opportunities. It's my responsibility to have a pulse on the industry. What's changing, what's coming, where do we need to be looking at? Right? And then you add in the technology piece of someone who's been a technologist and worked in the technology space. So not only am I, you know, navigating and understanding the trends that are coming from a content creation space, not only am I pulling on my network of producers and managers and A&Rs, I'm now also leaning into the space of being a CTO, understanding, you know, how data moves the needle and the need to understand your audience in a way that isn't owned by any other entity. So me saying like, hey, you need to have a website in which you can communicate to your fans directly. And then you need to build a newsletter that enables you to be able to communicate to them immediately when you have an update for them. And then let's take it a step further and get their phone number so that you don't even have to sit down at the computer and write up an email any longer. You just add an app on your phone and you send text messages immediately to your fan base. You got a song that you want validated. You don't want to go through the trouble of uploading it to the SoundClouds and the Audio Max and going through a distributor. Great. Upload it on your phone. Send the link to your fan base and then get their feedback in real time. That is the space that I was trying to move a lot of the artists to. And as an artist, one of the things that I started to find and to realize is that artists can only pull from the level of understanding that they have of the space in their time. And that's not a bad thing, right? It, as an artist, it's not your responsibility to understand these trends. right? You don't have to understand the NFT space in order to operate in the NFT space. You just need to have someone on your team who understands that space and can advise you on how to navigate it. And if you're able to have someone who not only understands the technology space, also understands the music landscape, and can give you top of the line creators and content, then you have a trifecta. Right? And so understand, and what I was building and what I've been building with the agency is that framework of having a space where artists can come through the doors and know that they're going to get the best information that they need in order to advance their career. They're going to get the best content within their budget, and they're going to be able to get the resources and the means they need to accelerate their career. And so in building something that is going to be consumed by the collective, that means that I have to transition out of just only giving this information to one or two or three artists at a time. I have to find a way to be able to communicate these changes at scale, across time, across space, and not be bogged down by the minutiae of having to also now navigate someone else's career, right? And so I think it's really, really important to make that distinction between how you operate and the vision that you have and how you can act on that vision. For me, my vision for the agency has always been very, very clear. It's a creative agency and production studio. If we leave it there, then that's it. I've always been true to that. I've always built on that. I've always been based on that. One of the things that I'm finding in the space is that people want access to that without having to pay the premium that rewards it, right? And so I've started to transition to value-based selling. I've started to transition the agency to it, our agency model to it, and then also in assessing the value of my own input. And transitioning to the value-based approach, it enables me to understand that the value that I've been giving at the level that I've been giving it has been underappreciated and at times taken for granted and taken advantage of. And at first I was really upset about that realization, but then that being upset transformed into being empowered. And the recognition of being empowered means that I now have the power to change this, right? I can't validate ideas for others unless I've validated the idea for myself. And so this whole year, it's October. I broke my ankle in February. And so it's been 8 months, right, of just really, really focused contemplation on how I wanted to navigate into the next phase of my career.
When you're running your own business, staying focused and clear-headed is so important. And being a multi-tier creative working across tech, agency, and venture means clarity is also a commodity. That's why I'm so happy I found Open, a mindfulness studio designing a new way to practice well-being. They offer live and on-demand classes on their app for breathwork, meditation, yoga, and Pilates. My favorite is their breathwork classes for improving mental focus. With Open, I can drop into a 3-minute class between calls for a quick recentering of my emotions and mental state, or even join live for a 20-minute energy breathing class with people from all over the world and the teacher to keep me accountable. Using the Open app has made such a difference in my daily routine, and that's why I'm so excited to share Open with you and invite you to start your ritual today using my promo code opentogether.com/creatives.
And in the blog that I wrote the other day in the newsletter to make the announcement, I talk about how things become defining moments. And at the time that they are happening, you don't know it's a defining moment. I didn't know that breaking my ankle in February 2021 would be a defining moment for the year. But looking back, it has absolutely shifted how I approach life, right? Because it was the first time in which things were completely 100% out of my control. I couldn't do anything on my own. I couldn't think about anything except getting better. I didn't care about anything except getting better and wanting to be in the top physical shape in order to show up as my best self. And so I started this approach of really going hard on essentialism. And essentialism is doing the next best thing that is essential for you to solve. And I started assessing all of the things that are on my plate in this manner. Does it improve my health? Does it impact my family? Does it provide resources? That's it. And that's what it came down to for me. Does it improve my health? Does it impact my family? And does it provide resources? And so in my mind, every time someone is calling me, every time I'm getting an email, every time I'm having to make a decision, I'm going through this thing in my mind of, okay, does it improve my health, right? So, okay, I have to do personal training, physical therapy, and eat healthy because it's going to improve my health and improve my physicality so that I can get better and I can walk again. Does it impact my family, right? Transitioning from someone who was a single person to now being responsible and the head of a family, that also shifts your priorities. And so now it's like, okay, does it improve my health? All right, well, if it doesn't improve my health, does it impact my family? Because if it impacts my family, then it's a decision that I have to make, right? There's something that I have to do because now I have a partner in life who I'm responsible to. And then does it provide resources to the things that I'm doing? Does it impact the agency? Does it impact the agency's team? Does it impact our clients, our ecosystem, our community, right? And assessing things in that manner really, really helped me, especially in the 2 to 3 months post-break and post-surgery, to get back on track. And so coming out of that space in May 2021, I was really in a space of, well, this has helped me so much, I don't want to start. I don't want to stop doing this. And so then I started to look at everything through that lens. Does it impact my family? Does it improve my health? Does it provide resources? And that approach has really revolutionized my approach to everything. And so throughout this entire process, it's been assessing everything that's on my plate in those three core areas. And in getting down to the heart of it, if the answers are no and doesn't hit on my personal focus areas, then I have to say no. And I think it's important as a creator, as an artist, to understand that a no today is going to open the door for a yes tomorrow. There are so many things that I want to pursue. But if I don't have the space for those things, then I'm not going to be doing it. And my vibrational energy is not going to allow for those things to come toward me. Because everything is energy. Everything is energy. And so in order to attract in the things that I want, the things that I want to do, the opportunities that I seek to step in and to live my full, highest creative self, then I have to create space outside of the low vibrational energy that I have been surrounding myself with through this thing that no longer serves me, right? And so I think it's so, that's so important, right? To be able to say, like, hey, I had low vibrations when it came to this certain area. And so because I had low vibrations over here, it then started to impact the vibrations that I was carrying forth everywhere else. And until I deal with the low vibrations over here, I'm not going to be able to accept in anything else, because the energy that I'm putting out isn't attracting it. It's not attracting it. And it's not attracting it because I'm not in a space where I can receive it. And so I started to raise my vibrations. I'm meditating more. I'm reading Layla Dahlia's Vibrate Higher Daily. I read that so much during the summer. I went back and reread it in October. And through reading these things and going deeper into myself, it started to pinpoint for me the areas where the vibrations were low, or the energy wasn't being reciprocated, or there was something there that I couldn't quite see, but it felt the kind of way, and I don't know. And then I started to release it one by one, piece by piece, step by step. And once I started to release these things and people and places that no longer serve me and that I couldn't take with me where I was trying to go, my creative energy came back, my creative spirit came back, partnerships started showing up out of nowhere, opportunities are presenting themselves. It's crazy that it happened. But at the same time, it's not, because I was doing the energetic work, and I've been doing the energetic work to align myself and my spirit with what I want to be and what I want to create and how I want to show up in the world. And yesterday on Twitter, someone asked me a piece of advice that I would give to creators about the now. And one of the things that I think is so important, there are a number of things, and I'm probably going to write a book about things I wish I knew as a creator, which are all of the lessons that I've learned as being a creator, so that other people can benefit from it. But what I said to that question of what is the advice that I would give to creators who are just starting out is that every door that opens doesn't have to be walked through. Saying no to the things that don't align with your spirit will set the stage for the things that do. Lean in and keep going. Don't give up, and always read the fine print. And so that's my advice. That's what I leave you with today. Every door that opens doesn't have to be walked through. There may be an opportunity in front of you that you're thinking, oh my goodness, this is the most amazing thing that's ever happened. Can't believe this is happening to me. But there's something about it that you don't quite trust. Follow that instinct. A scarcity mindset will have you thinking that you have to take the opportunity because this might be the only opportunity that you get. But I want you as creators to shift to the abundance mindset. And the abundance mindset says that if I've gotten this opportunity, that means that there is more opportunities where this one came from. And so if I don't have the space now, if I don't have the bandwidth now, if I just can't do it now, my saying no isn't going to block me from saying yes tomorrow. Because that's a lesson that I had to learn throughout this entire process. There have been so many things that I wanted to say no to, but said yes and betrayed myself and ended up in hell. I should have said no. I should have said no, but I said yes and regretted it every single day. And then there are moments, and there have been moments, especially over the last year, when I said no as a complete sentence and was completely at peace. Completely at peace. Every single day. And that's how you know. And that's how you know. And you're not always going to make the right decision. It's not always a easy no. But if you're being honest with yourself and you're in alignment with where you're trying to go, those no's get easier. Because every no is setting the stage for the yes. And so as you start to drop things away and you start to kind of set in and explore the new opportunities before you, know that you have the right to choose what the next phase looks like for you. No one else gets that decision. No one else gets that decision about how your life looks and what your next step is. Because if you've given it to someone else to make that decision, then you need to take it back. You need to take it back. Take back your power. Step fully into the next phase of your life, knowing that as a creator, as an entrepreneur, as a founder, as a manifester, you have the power to do what needs to be done in order to create the life that you want to live and to do so abundantly, to do it abundantly. Because greatness takes time, it takes discipline, and it takes a knowing and a commitment to your vision. That's what it's about. Hope you've enjoyed it. I'll catch you after the break.
Hey, thanks so much for tuning in. That's it for today's episode. Hope you enjoyed it. If you did, let's keep the conversation going online. You can follow me everywhere, Leticia Rising. And make sure that you subscribe and like the podcast as well. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, IG at Creatives Rising. That's Creatives Rising. And if you like us, subscribe, visit us online, and make sure that you're leaving those ratings. Until next time.